All right. It is my joy to be here today. I thank you for the opportunity to be here and worship with you. I am Tom Pelfrey, and I've lived in Owensboro for the last 30-some years, moving there in 1995 to serve the Third Baptist Church of Owensboro as associate pastor. And yes, I do have a son named John Pelfrey. Some of you would remember him as a basketball player for the University of Kentucky. That was not my son. I'm much too short to have a son that's 6'5". But nonetheless, I do have two sons, John, who now resides in North Carolina, and son Clark, who lives in Owensboro. It's my joy to be here. And I ought to tell you about my wife, right? She's my wife of 52 years and just a gracious woman and very active in ministry throughout her college years and throughout our ministry together. We've always felt like God has called us together to do His work and His ministry. And she is a talented talented Christian lady who shows love to all that she sees. And I'm blessed to call her my wife and have been for all these years. Now, that doesn't mean she's not without her faults. but we won't go into those today. We served the church at Third Baptist for 3 years, and then I went into assisting churches through computer software. I worked for two different companies for over 20 years, assisting churches with bringing their congregations onto membership roles and data management, accounting and payroll and all those kind of things. And during the last 20 years or so of working with that, I was also a bivocational pastor. I served at the Kurtzville Baptist Church, where I found that we also have some common things in there at Kurtzville Baptist Church. And then I served most recently at Buena Vista Baptist Church there in Owensboro. So that's a little bit about me. I'm glad, again, to be here today with you. I want to read from Scripture that is familiar to you from 2 Corinthians. If you want to turn there, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 14. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that he died for all. And therefore, all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we consider no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled himself, reconciled us to himself through Christ, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ and not counting men's sin against them. We'll look at some other verses a little bit later. Will you join me in prayer? Oh, Lord, our God, it is indeed our privilege to respond to your invitation for us to come to you in prayer. We know, oh, Lord, that you take initiative in all things, that your loving initiative even calls us to prayer. You bring prayer concerns into our minds. You bring those things that we should pray about in our own lives to the forefront of our thinking. You convict us of our sin. You guide us to comfort and strength. You remove our shame and our guilt. You grant us peace. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to come to you in prayer. To thank you, O Lord, for coming into this world and making reconciliation a possibility. That indeed, in Christ Jesus, you have given all people the opportunity to be right with you, to be reconciled, to be a new creation. We praise you for that, O Lord. We ask that you would give us a new insight in what it means to be your child in 2024. As we look at your word today, we ask your Spirit to speak to us individually and collectively. In Christ's powerful name, amen. Here in 2 Corinthians, Paul is taking his second letter, sending it to his friends at the church in Corinthians, because, as in many churches, there were issues. There were issues that he addressed in the first letter to Corinthians, and there were issues that came up in the second letter. One of those issues in the second letter was that there were people who were saying that Paul's ministry wasn't as effective as it could have been. And there were people who were saying bad things about Paul's ministry and what he had done, and even saying untruthful things. Now, we wouldn't expect that in Christ's church, but it happens. It happened in Paul's day, it happened in the first century, and it happens in our world today. So Paul took the initiative and wrote back. And he wrote back about what God in Christ Jesus had done for all his children and for all the world. And in this passage here, following what Paul has to say about the desire to depart and be with the Lord Jesus Christ, and what was happening for saints when they die, he moves on to talk about how beloved he is in Christ Jesus and how his ministry has been just that, a ministry for the reaching of people and the sharing of God's message of reconciliation. And Paul admitted right up front, I've not always done that. He says in the other book in Corinthians, he talks about being the least of all the apostles because he was unseemingly born or untimely born. But he was an apostle because he did see Jesus. And you know the revelation of God to Paul on the road to Damascus, that great light, and how Jesus Christ spoke to Paul and told him that he had a new mission for him. And that he was trying to do the wrong things and persecuting the church. And Paul was never the same again. In fact, his name was changed from Saul to Paul. And Paul never forgot that he had that encounter with Jesus Christ, and he was called to minister in his name. And he said the reason for that was because God loved me so much. For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live unto themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Paul wanted to make sure that the Corinthians understood his source of ministry and the source of God's love and God's initiative in calling him to be the apostle to the non-Jewish world. And Paul also wanted to make sure that everyone understood that as a Christian, that as a follower of Jesus Christ, someone who had been reconciled to God, the new way of living was in love. And there was never a time in which they couldn't grow in Christ Jesus, because God's love in Christ Jesus is so overwhelmingly large. It allows for all of us to grow every day new in Christ Jesus. And Paul goes on to say there that therefore, excuse me, I'm having just a little bit of trouble finding the light that I'm looking for. Therefore, anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. And all of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. One of those big words there in the New Testament, reconcile. What does reconciled mean? Reconciliation is that which takes place between two people who have had their differences and willingly decide to put them aside, to move forward, to forgive one another, and to move forward. Reconciliation is that when one side decides to take the first step and going to somebody else and says, I've hurt you, and I've been hurt by you, but I want to get beyond that. God in Christ Jesus was telling the world, your sin has hurt me. Your choice of living in a manner other than which I intended for you has separated you from me. And it's hurt me as your creator. And that's not what I intended. What I intended was to have people who would willingly love me and respond to the great world in which I have created, and that I'm there for you. But sin came into the world because of one man's action. And before we're too hard on Adam, we have all broken sin. We've all sinned. Come short of the glory of God, as the scriptures tell us. But sin entered the world when they were tempted and did what they should not have done, God told them not to do. And you say to yourself, why does sin have to be in the world? Well, sin is in the world because God wanted to make sure that we were something more than puppets, that we chose him as our Lord and Savior. Therefore, God saw that man had sinned. He knew that that would happen. If he gave people free will choice, he knew that they would choose the wrong thing. But he was ready. Our scripture tells us that God, powerful love, he prepared a way for us to have a right standing and a relationship with him, because he came into the world as the babe Christ. He came into the world as a human being. He came into the world to show us what real life could be like, what real love is like, about the real way that we can live and grow and know his grace and his mercy. God, in Christ Jesus, one of Paul's very favorite phrases, to be in Christ. God gave us the opportunity to be His children and to love Him and to bask in His love for us, in His guidance for us, and in that process, from turning from our sin to being saved, God said it's nothing less than having a new creation. And so my first question to you today is, do you feel like a new creation? Do you feel like a new creation? Today, the first Sunday in September of 2024, there's a lot of reasons for us to get complacent. There's a lot of reasons for us to forget all the blessings that God has given us in Christ Jesus and all the ways He has already changed us to be more like Him. We're coming up on that anniversary again. We, America, are coming up on that anniversary again of 9/11. It's on my mind because my oldest son's wedding anniversary is today. And then 10 days later, 10 days later, we had two jets fly into the towers in New York City. We're coming up on that horrendous day that we thought would never happen until we saw those planes fly in to those towers and the towers start to smoke. And until we heard the reports about the plane trying to fly into the Pentagon and the one in the field in Pennsylvania. We're coming up on that day, we as Americans, and the question is, how much do we remember? How much has it changed us? I have three grandchildren who really have very little understanding of that day. The oldest grandchild is 16. My wife got older again, so my oldest grandchild is 17. That was a little bit of humor there, but so my oldest grandson is 17, but he really doesn't understand all that happened in America on that day. And I just bring that up for us to be mindful that in our own Christian life, we can sometimes forget the blessings that God has bestowed upon us and that He's given to us and that the possibilities of living for Him as a new creation. The old has gone. What about the old has gone? My hair has changed its color and I'm a little bit more hefty than I used to be. But that's not the kind of changes that God in Christ Jesus is talking about here. God in Christ Jesus is talking about the changes that come to us as we put away the world's views and the way that they think and the what the world is trying to press us into. Their views, their ways of thinking and judging of other people. And rather, God in Christ Jesus is calling us to love unconditionally and to forgive. Read the Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5. Go on and read the whole Sermon on the Mount that we call the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And then go over in Luke in chapter 6 and look at what we call the Sermon on the Plain. And you'll see the comparison there of the basic teachings of Jesus Christ and what He's saying to us about how those who are poor in spirit will be refreshed and those who mourn will be comforted. These things are not the way of the world. They are the way of Jesus Christ. And He is bringing those to our lives today. And so my challenge to you today is, what new thinking is going on in your life today because of what God is speaking and saying to you? Or have we settled into a way of thinking about Christ Jesus that we're comfortable with, that we don't want to be spurred into any deep thinking and action? And it's easy for us to say, I've got this Christian stuff down. I understand it. And I'm doing such a good job with it. And Jesus would come to us and he would say to us, are you salt? Are you making a difference in the other people's lives? Are you light? Do people know that you're a Christian and by the way you live? Are you willing to give up something so that you can share the message of Jesus Christ? You see, God is still doing a new thing in you and me. His ability to recreate us into His fashion and into His form has not diminished. It is still just as valid today, just as strong today, as the day He transformed Saul into Paul and turned his life around and gave him a mission to preach the gospel to the Greek world. Today, it is still just as powerful as it was the day that my uncle, who when I grew up, I just knew him as a man who wasn't around much, married to a precious lady who was my aunt, who taught me in Sunday school, let me sit beside her when my dad was serving as an usher and my mom was in the choir, and she taught me how to take the hymn book and go through the verses and go verse one and cross there and across there and read and sing the refrain and then go back up to verse two. Roberta was the one who taught me that. But Jay, her husband, unknowns to me, was the town drunk. And my aunt had a really tough life. And their three boys and two girls had a really tough life because of Jay's habit. He was a big guy. You didn't mess with Jay. He was a big old guy who'd been in the Navy and knew how to throw his weight around. And would come home on Friday night and spend a good portion of the paycheck at the local bar and then spend the rest of the weekend getting sober from it. I didn't know that. But boy, I tell you what, when Jay Travis found the Lord Jesus Christ, he was completely changed. He went back into those taverns, yeah. He went back in there on Friday night. But he didn't drink. He went back in there to tell people about Jesus Christ. You know? He was a new creation. And God is still in the business of making new creatures out of those who will allow Him to do so. He is still calling you and me. He's still convicting you and me of those things in our lives of which we should grow beyond. And those sins that we think nobody else knows about. He calling us to confess them and to move forward. And to understand the fullness of His righteousness and His blessings that He has for us. He's provided us the greatest counselor in the world, His Spirit. To live in us and to guide us and direct us. And so He has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not wanting men's sins to count against them. That's everybody. God wants all people to respond to His love and to His grace and to know the fullness of living for Him. And to, He has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, that we might tell others, that we might live as Christians in this world where people will know the difference and that they will want to know Jesus Christ. My guess is if I were to ask for testimonies now, some of you would stand and tell me what the difference in Jesus Christ made in your life. And some of you might stand and say, this is what God did through my life that I did not know He was doing in the life of another person. That somebody may have come up to you in years later and said, you're a witness. You were witnessing to me even without words. Because that's what God does. That's what God calls us to do, and the kinds of people He calls us to be, and the Spirit that He gives us so that we can live and love on His behalf. Oh, there's newness in this world, and there's newness in our lives, no matter what our age today. The newness that Jesus Christ can give us if we're willing to live for Him. I believe you're willing. I believe you want to. Will you join me in prayer? Oh Lord our God, we thank You for Your word that's clear, that You want the very best for us. And that You have done everything in Christ Jesus that we might know salvation and be found right standing with You. Today, O Lord, if there is one here who does not know You as Lord and Savior, has been putting off this decision for a long, long time, they want to be a new child of Yours today. They want to be a new creation. They want to understand what the Spirit's guidance is in their life. I pray, O Lord, that they would make that decision today and come forward as we sing. Lord, I also pray that those of us who are Christians today would understand and listen to the still small voice that is speaking to us, Your Spirit, that's guiding us and asking us to to give over areas of our life so that we might find the new creation that You are having us to be. We thank You for Your Spirit. We ask You to guide us as we sing and as we make decisions. In Jesus' name, amen.
Page 317.
Every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, for He will surely give you rest, trusting in His word. Only trust Him. Now He will save you. He will save you. He will
save you. All right, let's sing the last verse with some real gusto and knowing that we're going to leave this building and trust Him and live for Him. Will you sing?
Come every soul by His holy bent and off to glory go.
No.
Only trust Him now. He will will save you. He will save you. He will save you now.
Thank you so much for your attention and for my ability to be here today. I thank you. Let us close our service in prayer. Oh, Lord, our God, it's been good to be here. Lord, we thank you that we do not leave this place alone, but that your Spirit goes with us and before us and after us. And Lord, I thank you for the faithfulness of all who are here. I pray for the healing of those that we have mentioned and the blessings on this church. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.